Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. One of the first things we learned as children was our ABCs. So let's talk about the ABCs, or the basics of your wealth covenant. Deuteronomy 8:18 says that God has given each of us, the power to get wealth. We read the verse in context, we see where God has given us that power.
But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. God has given us the power to get wealth so that he can establish his covenant.
You know, maybe the word establish means founded and grounded financially so that no economic problems could ever uproot or overthrow the orderly operation of that covenant on earth. Do we really think that God wants the state of the world's economy to affect the operation of his church and his chosen ministries? Do we really think that God would want every economic slump in the natural realm to disrupt the ministry of his church? Of course not. God has a plan for his children to be so well established in finances that literally no problem in the economy will affect the church's economy. Good times, bad times, depression, recession makes no difference. God intends for his church to grow and flourish no matter what the world may be facing in its godless economics. God has given all his children the power to get wealth so that they can be financially established. Then they can generously fund every need that arises for the operation of the covenant that he made with Abraham. That is the primary reason that he's given the saints, you, me, us, the power to get wealth.
When we are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, when we're using our God-given power to get wealth to establish God's kingdom first, the second portion of the covenant comes into play. God will add all these other things, our needs and desires, unto us. That's what it says in Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Notice God adds all these things. When we effectively do our part of first establishing the kingdom, putting it first in our lives, God will do his part and give us all the things that he knows we need and want for a good life and be able to share it in abundance. You may be surprised to learn that God has a pattern of taking all these things from the wicked and giving them to his children. But it's true. God periodically transfers the wealth of the wicked to his children. And in Proverbs 13, verse 22, it says, "And the wealth of the sinner, the wicked, is laid up for the just."
You know, honey, I can hear some people saying, "Brother Harold, Sister Bev, I believe you. I believe you because I believe the word of God. It says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. So it must be true." But my logical mind says it's just too fantastic. I have to confess that it is beyond my realm of experience. Yes, I believe the Bible, but I must be totally honest. I've never heard of wealth being turned over to the righteous. I see from my experience that the lost, wicked men do not give away their wealth. Now, let me say this. Be at ease. You've heard of this wealth transfer happening from time again. Let me remind you some of the times.
How about Abraham and the Egyptians, honey? You remember the account in Genesis 12? Abram received great wealth from the wicked Egyptians. And although Abram came from rich ancestors, When he arrived down in Egypt, he couldn't afford to hire a bodyguard, so he told his wife, Sarai, to tell everyone that she was just his sister. Well, you know, if you've ever read that story, which I'm sure you have many times, Pharaoh fell for Sarai and stated that he was going to marry her on a certain date. But this is what the scripture says in Genesis 12:16. Genesis 12, verse 16. And it says, he, the Pharaoh, entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen, and he had asses and men servants and maid servants, and she, asses and camels. That was, you know, all good until Pharaoh discovered that Sarai was really Abram's wife. He became so angry that he threw Abram out of Egypt. But note a very interesting point. Pharaoh let Abram keep all the wealth that he had given him. Because it says in Genesis 12:20, it says, and Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. In one short visit to Egypt, the wealth of the wicked was quickly transferred to the just man, Abram. Notice how much wealth Abram acquired in this short time. Upon his departure from Egypt, he had great substance, because in Genesis 13, verse 2, the next chapter, Genesis 13, starting in verse 2, it says, and Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. God sent Abram out of Egypt with so much wealth, the Bible says he was very rich.
You know, honey, further along in the passage, we see that Abram and Lot had acquired so many possessions while in Egypt that the land was unable to bear them. We read that in Genesis 13:6. They actually had such great substance, they could not dwell together, for they needed large amounts of land to sustain their herds. A close examination of the scripture seems to show that Lot's wealth came from his association with Abram. It's important to notice this fact, that Abram's wealth was so excessive that even his nephew was able to prosper from his abundance.
Hallelujah.
Clearly, this shows that when God distributes the wealth, he doesn't mind if his children have more than enough. Listen to what he told Abram in Genesis 13, 14, and 15.
In Genesis chapter 13, starting in verse 14 and ending 15, it says, lift up not thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever.
These are not the promises of a God who wants his children to dwell in poverty, starvation, and ignorance. No, indeed. The God of Abram is the God of abundance. As we study God's word carefully, we'll find that God has clearly stated his intention to take very good care of his children, especially those who walk in his footsteps and obey his will and his word. We need also keep in mind that God gave all this land to Abram and his seed, the righteous. Remember that every bit of this property was once owned by wicked, heathen men, and God gave it to the just. Now let's look back at another case where God transferred the wealth of the wicked to the just. Observe this process as it operated in the life of Isaac.
You know, while Isaac was living, honey, in his homeland, he ran out of supplies because of a harsh famine. So he decided to do as his father had done before. He decided to go on down to Egypt. Isaac got as far as the land of the Philistines when God told him to stop. He told Isaac to stay out of Egypt and continue dwelling in the land of the wicked Philistines, a land the famine had rendered barren and seemingly non-productive. Yet God promised Isaac, if he followed his instructions you and I would probably label as foolish, he would prosper. Because look in Genesis 26:3, it tells us, he said, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. You know, when God tells you something, you can take it to the bank.
Absolutely.
Some will read this passage and immediately assume that God meant an abundance of spiritual blessings. Well, let's see what God really meant by blessings in the midst of the famine. For in Genesis 26:12, it said, "Then Isaac sowed in the land, a land in the midst of famine, and received the same year, an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him." I like to think that it was not just the hundredfold, but then on top of it, the Lord blessed him. Because in Genesis 26:14, we see a further inventory of what God had given to Isaac. The verse says, "For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds, and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him." You know, as we believe, the Philistines envied Isaac's spiritual heritage. Is that what we would believe?
Okay.
No. No, we're gonna believe what the Word of God says. Because they looked at him, all the goods that God had blessed him with, and it was huge. The Philistines envied Isaac because he grew huge crops in the midst of a famine. Crops he was able to sell to the Philistines for great amounts of money. They envied his large flocks of sheep for meat and clothing, his great store of servants who waited on his every need. In the midst of famine, Isaac cleaned out the wealth of the Philistines. That's why the Philistines envied Isaac. He was a son of a living God who prospered his children by giving them the wealth of the wicked. And yes, Isaac first and foremost had a deep spiritual inheritance, that's true. But God had also earmarked an abundant material earthly abundance for him, just as he had for his father Abram. That's the same thing he wants to do for us. Because in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 19, it says, "Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God." God gives both spiritual and financial wealth to his people. Poverty is simply not a biblical principle. It is a time for God's children to stop claiming that poverty is what God wants for their lives.
Honey, it's time that everybody face the fact that poverty is not God's perfect will for their lives.
Amen.
It is not. To live daily on the brink of insufficiency and claim that it's God's plan, or claim that God's plan is a spiritual mistake. In biblical illustrations, the same truth keeps emerging. God has a people. God takes care of his people in the spiritual, the physical, and the financial realms. The Apostle John declared in 3 John 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospereth."
Even as thy soul prospereth.
That scripture, the verse where it says wish, one translation says desire. "Beloved, I desire above all things." Another translation says, "Pray. Beloved, I pray above all things." So there's no question that God is a wealth covenant for us, and he wants us walking in it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, if you've been blessed by the teaching, go to heraldhearing.com, up at the top where it says, "So we'll see." Just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says, that's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.